Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, we got masks, we got turkeys, and we got people that want to talk in the third person. So Christian Rosenberg says stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What a crazy 4 days it's been in LA for the WWE. It ends here on SmackDown as we are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV. What's up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Gang is all here this week. We still somewhat have our voices from this crazy time when we're all yelling at TVs and at Staples Center.
Well, not so much.
Well, yelling various things. Over on this side, we got Ms. Gabby Loren.
Hi, guys. I was just making that comment because I don't ever have a voice. It's always raspy and it's always gone. And currently from, I feel like, the California wildfire damage of the air quality, I'm feeling the effects. I don't know about you guys, but my voice has just, like, been out for a while now.
We got to fix that.
Yeah,
we gotta work on that.
Need some air filters or something.
Yes. Yeah. Can we get air filters in the studio, please? That'd be great.
Or air filters outside. Not no, that's in the yeah.
Hey, Tom Connolly's here as well.
I'm here. I'm very disappointed.
Uh oh.
Very.
Is it like a rage type of disappointment?
No.
No.
Just
okay.
Like a sad disappointment of like.
The music just suddenly cut when you told about this. 6-1.
Six and one.
It's 6-1. Well, yeah. I mean. We could say, you know, why did Raw pretty much sweep SmackDown at Survivor Series? But it may be weird. I partially think this is a good thing.
You think like that
like SmackDown got crushed in Survivor Series?
Why?
Because in past Survivor Series, you know, it was like a surprise when SmackDown would win some of the bigger matches, and it was almost trying to give a rub to SmackDown, be like, oh, well, they were able to pull off this win because they were kind of brushing SmackDown aside, but like, oh, we'll give it to them. Now the roles have reversed. Now it's like Raw really needed these wins to make people really want to get into Raw, and SmackDown's so good, and SmackDown's getting ready to head over to Fox. So SmackDown's got all the momentum.
Sweep next year?
I'm not saying they're going to sweep next year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
But what I'm saying is Raw needed these victories more than SmackDown does. You're laughing, but I'm being serious, and which is a very different change of pace from years past. Because
I get what you're saying.
We had Johnny and TK in here last week say that SmackDown's the A show as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, and they know it too. So
I get what
Raw needed these wins.
I understand what you're saying, but I also feel like Shane McMahon tweeted of like there's going to be some changes coming, and I thought he was going to come out firing tonight, and we got nothing.
That was the one thing I was surprised about with tonight's SmackDown. Like, there was really no mention of Survivor Series at all.
Except for Xavier Woods.
I find crazy that they did not play into that storyline and have Shane get kind of almost a beatdown or reprimanding from Stephanie McMahon, or even just like a we're better than you, Luxy, proved you wrong.
No, I would have thought Shane or Paige would have been pissed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And force people into certain matches as punishment.
Or just like everyone on the stage. That's how we're starting the show. Like, really, guys? How could you let us down?
Yeah.
We put together these teams. I mean, when you look at SmackDown versus Raw, that team.
Yeah.
It was very, very uneven.
Yeah, a little bit.
It feels like they're just brushing it under the rug. But overall, I love Survivor Series. Oh, my God. The Ronda Rousey-Charlotte match was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
That was so great to see live. It was one of the best matches of the night, if not the best, in my opinion. And damn, Rousey got a beat down.
Yeah, she did.
Really showed that too. SmackDown should have got more points during Survivor Series. But I did want to bring up the fact that when I was leaving Survivor Series, I was hungry. I was with two friends, and we were like, where are we going to eat? And I was craving Thai food. So we go all the way back to, like, Hollywood area.
Okay.
Thai Town, like Sunset Boulevard. And I see this place called Hoika. It was a Thai restaurant. And I looked it up on Google real quick, saw that it was like 5 stars, had like over 200 reviews. So we go in there. It was freaking amazing. And guess who we see walk in the door?
Vince McMahon.
No. That would have been cool.
Charlotte Flair.
Okay. Now
Ronda Rousey. Come on, guess.
No. You're both wrong. Everyone's wrong. It was Mustafa Ali, and I actually called it. It was so funny because he was with two friends, and I'm sitting next to my ex, Tony, and his friend, Darash, and these are, like, huge wrestling fans. Like, these guys have been watching since they were babies. Like, they know every fact there is to know about wrestling, every year, match, title, whatever, anything. So I was the first one to notice it, and Tony's like, wow, you're getting good. And I'm like, yup, just wait. Keep waiting as I, you know, keep doing this every single year. It's just going to get better and better and better.
I've known you over the years, and the knowledge has grown more and more and more every time.
Thank you.
Mustafa and Buddy Murphy had a hell of a match, too, at Survivor Series.
Yeah, they did.
So Tony said hi to Mustafa Ali, and we said he had a great match. And he was like, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
It was very nice. They shook hands. Mm-hmm.
I think that was, the third best match of the night.
Yeah.
I think it was...
It woke people up.
The Charlotte match was really good.
Charlotte match, the Brock Bryan match, and the Cruiserweight match.
And Nakamura and Rollins. Do you know who I went to dinner with on Saturday?
Who?
I was out with a friend.
The WWE star?
No, Steve Kaufman. Do you know him?
Oh, that's great. Like the star of Aftermath.
I feel like you're forgetting someone that you had dinner with. I feel like there was another really big name star.
I
was
gonna say you and I went to dinner, but
you just apparently I wasn't there. You just went with Steve. We forgot about me. All right, let's get into the show. Because we start with Charlotte because we want to know why she snapped and just beat the holy hell out of Ronda. Mm-hmm. We loved it. We just want to know why. And she's proud of what she's done. And Becky told her to give Ronda the beating that she would. And I took that to heart and made it my mission. And I think mission was accomplished. Paige interrupts her. And the thing is, Paige's like, baby girl. Because that's pretty much what Paige says, in a much nicer voice than mine.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. She's like, I love what you did to Ronda, but you beat up 5 referees as well. I'm going to have to fine you $100,000.
She was very unsure about how much she was going to fine her. Like,
why is each referee only worth $20,000?
I think this is ridiculous. This is one of the dumbest.
I was thinking she was either going to punish her by putting her in a certain match or like temporarily suspend her.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was like, all right, we're going to get a suspension. But I was like, no, Becky, we can't have no Charlotte on the show as well at the same time. I just thought it was $100,000 is just ridiculous because even Paige saying it didn't sound believable one bit at all. Like, it was almost like she was like, I'm going to fine you $100,000.
Like, here you think she's going to get fired.
Yeah.
And then this comes out.
Yeah.
What a disappointment.
And it's, I mean, come on. We all know the game. We know what's happening. She's not getting fined.
We know that she went to the back, pulled out her checkbook, and wrote a check for $100,000.
And, like, why does WWE even need $100,000? They just made so much money off the Saudi Arabia stuff. Like, what do they need?
Charlotte didn't get any of that money, though. Yeah, so this is her wallet.
Oh, man, she's really
She's going to go into debt over it, but I'm saying, like, WWE has this money, and if she gets fined, Charlotte has to pay WWE, but they don't need the money.
And she doesn't even get the bonus money from Evolution because she didn't main event Evolution either.
Well, in the other pro sports, when a player gets fined for something, that money goes to a charity. Mm. So it's almost like Charlotte's giving money to a charity then.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
At least for that, you know. Yeah.
So Paige is just a little annoyed. Not really much. Just a little peeved that she put her hands on referees.
How many times have we seen people do that, though?
To be fair,
how many times have we seen Ronda Rousey beat people up and beat up security?
And when that happened, she was suspended for a month.
But she's done it again after that, though.
Since when?
She's done it multiple times.
Has she?
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know. Maybe Stephanie realized she's going to break her arm.
Even referees have been getting involved in matches. Didn't we see a SmackDown match recently where they had the referee, I think it was SmackDown, roll across the body of one of the wrestlers? Do you remember that?
Roll across the body?
Come on, you guys. Cheryl, help me out.
I don't remember.
They were like, get it. It was, I think, with the New Day. It was something silly, and they were like, you do it. You do it. And then one of the referees rolled over.
I don't remember that for some reason.
Does anyone remember that?
I don't know. Cheryl probably will.
Yeah.
They'll correct Tom and I. Payne and Billy come out, and they're making fun of Charlotte snapping, and Charlotte shuts them up and says, which one of you is going to be the next Ronda Rousey? Because I'm going to, like, pretty much destroy you. It's Billy Kay. It's a basic match, natural selection. Charlotte wins. But then Charlotte gets on the mic and says, Peyton, your turn. I'm going to wrestle you now. I'm going to play Flair and Square.
Mm.
That's going to be a new t-shirt.
Yep.
So then we have Charlotte versus Peyton. Charlotte's about to win that match until Billy interferes. DQ. Peyton and Billy start ganging up. But then Charlotte gets the upper hand. Double spear.
Wait.
What?
Charlotte gets the upper hand because the bellman...
The timekeeper takes the chair. Takes the
chair. Like, what was that about?
No, what is the fact about Billy Kay and Peyton Royce cannot outmuscle the timekeeper for a steel chair?
But also, why would he be like, no, give me that chair back?
He needs the chair.
Maybe that was a real chair, and they need the fake steel chairs.
They use real steel chairs.
That was ridiculous.
They use real steel chairs.
But
I don't know.
I would have been better.
No, I know.
Why did he?
I've been hit with them. They do.
Why didn't he just let them take the chair? And then when they turned around, she could have speared them both. It's more of a thing of like, oh, now they're gonna hit her with a chair, and now it didn't happen. I don't know. That was just dumb and weird, and I don't know.
By the way,
timekeeper, keep your hands off the chairs.
Maybe the referee thing that I'm talking about, it could have been something I saw on Impact, but I think it was WWE. Maybe I'm getting it confused. Yeah.
They wouldn't have done that to Brock Lesnar or Randy Orton.
No, it wasn't a big guy, that's for sure. It had to be someone small.
Charlotte went on to continue to just obliterate both Peyton and Billy. Refs had to come out and pull her away again. Mm-hmm. Will she get fined for this?
No.
She didn't touch the refs. She didn't touch the refs this time, but then she just kept attacking other people after the bell. But does this help Charlotte, or does this hurt Peyton and Billy? The two of them together just got destroyed by one person.
This helps Charlotte.
Right. I think it hurts Peyton and Billy more than helps Charlotte.
No, because right now they're establishing Charlotte to be kind of like, I don't want to say a monster because she's not supposed to be a heel, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, the way she was in the ring with Ronda Rousey, you would think she was a heel. She was going crazy.
But I don't get what they're doing. Like, what do they do with Becky now when she comes back? Because now Charlotte's kind of, like, taking this spotlight from her a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't get what happens after this now.
Maybe she'll say, you know, I trusted you to get the job done and you didn't.
Yeah.
She could say that.
But then they're both, like... I mean, Becky's not like... Charlotte kind of went crazy. Becky didn't... Becky's just super confident and like a badass.
Right. I don't know. It's a matter of seeing. Because now, to me, it's almost looking like, well, Mania's not going to be Becky and Ronda after all. It's going to be Charlotte and Ronda again, and Becky will have Nia.
You think... Oh.
Because it does make sense.
I know, but I don't want to...
I'm not saying I want that. Yeah. I'm just saying that's what it's looking like as of right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But go ahead.
Oh, I thought of something earlier today. I thought it was a cool thing of Becky wins the Rumble as champion.
Interesting.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like that happen before, right?
Yeah. I just don't know if I want a champion to be in the Rumble because the point is to face the champion.
Well, yeah, champion faces champion, so it'll be Becky and Ronda going against each other. The same match we were supposed to have this weekend. To see who really is the best.
No, they have to do WrestleMania.
That is WrestleMania.
Well, he's talking about four WrestleMania.
Yeah. I thought you said Royal.
I'm saying Becky wins the Rumble match. Gotcha. To then go on and face Rousey.
She can face Rousey regardless, can't she?
No, because they're on different shows.
Yeah. So they have to...
They can't just create a storyline again since she never got her chance at her?
They can.
Yeah, but they used to do that before.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, when it was Raw. They did have, like, Raw versus SmackDown matches at WrestleMania. That was, like, the only time they'd do it. Not Survivor Series. Or Survivor Series as well, but, yeah.
Miz TV, guest is Shane McMahon. Miz is hyping up Shane, talking about how great he is, and practically gets down on one knee and asks Shane McMahon to team with him. We can be co-besties.
And did you think that's where this was going?
No.
I thought he was asking for a title match, right?
I had no idea where it was going.
So if they didn't try to make SmackDown look weak on Survivor Series, they definitely did when Miz pulled this stunt.
asking to be Shane's tag team partner because Shane is the best in the world, and who else could there possibly be on the roster that could be a good tag team partner? I don't know. I AJ don't know Styles, where... Andrade mm-hmm. Cien Almas, yeah, Nakamura.
Wait, and that's also what I was trying to come up with. Like, a reasoning as to why this match was a thing, because they have all these people on the roster that they could use, and they're, like, filling matches with this BS instead of using someone...
That I'm going to... Because based on what they're trying to do with the story, so they want, okay, here's, like, a test match for us to see how we work as a team. Here are two local guys, one of which, Southern California professional wrestler Eli Everfly... They're the Bryant brothers, apparently. Dane and Wayne Bryant, I think were their names. Well, Wayne never got in the ring. It was Dane. Eli Everfly was Dane Bryant.
I thought it was Daniel Bryant, and I thought the other one was going to be Bryant. Brian Bryant.
I don't think they'll do that.
No, I thought they were trying to do like a whole like Daniel Bryan,
you know. We know the Southern Californian independent wrestlers because we work with them. We see them out here. So that's why we talk about them whenever WWE comes around this area. But, Cheryl, I mean, anytime WWE is in your neck of the woods, if there's a local independent guy that you know, tell us in the chat roll so we can give him shouts out like we're giving Eli Everfly right now, because it's great when local guys get this type of work. Mm-hmm. So we want to, you know, shout out guys not just when they're in L.A., but Eli Everfly pins The Miz. I repeat. Eli Everfly, a.k.a. Dane Bryant, pins The Miz. And Shane looks like, what happened? And Miz is trying to plead with him. Like, you know, it was a mistake. You know, it wasn't supposed to happen. I can change. We're really a good team.
But why would somebody want to team up with them in the future knowing that they made such a terrible match and mistake?
That's the point. Like,
it's nobody's like, going to team up with him.
Right, that's the point. So Miz now has to try to convince Shane to keep teaming with him.
But he's not going to team with him.
I think it just ends up... I think we're leading to a Miz versus Shane match.
Yeah, maybe.
With this.
I think we're first somehow going to have the two of them in a tag title match eventually, which then will lead to a Miz versus Shane match.
That's really far to go.
It'll go quicker than you think. We don't know who the Bar is feuding with anymore.
No.
So, yeah.
What do you mean? They're feuding with the New Day every single week.
True.
Well, one thing that we love every single week
is
our loyal fans and listeners, King of the Segways, that tune in live in the chat roll, listen on iTunes, on Spotify, everywhere. And we need your assistance in making the show even better than it already is. Tell them, Tom.
Yes. Hey, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. So stop what you're doing right now. And we need your help because we're asking you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And you'll have AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments and we'll thank you on air. And we'll check the chat roll while you're doing this.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody did it. Anybody? Anybody out there?
Well, there's a slight delay.
Okay, gotcha. All right, we'll get to them. And for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
We got great fans, chatting up. And by the way, Doug Unfunny in the chat brings up, because I haven't mentioned all the Southern California wrestlers that appeared over this weekend. By the way, on Monday Night Raw, we had our buddy the Hobo was there, and Seth Rollins, you know, gave him a good sucker punch.
Yeah,
that wasn't cool, Seth.
Yeah,
Hobo was just doing his job as a security guard. The man needs to make money. He's a hobo. How dare you? Shame on you, Seth.
Very well dressed hobo.
Cleanest shirt he's ever owned. That security shirt. Time for the feast fight. New Day versus The Bar and Big Show. 6-1. And I guess this is, I mean, it's really brief, but this would be this week's Christian's Closet. Because the New Day are pilgrims. They're all decked out in pilgrims. As pilgrims. However, the best thing about it was their wrestling boots, because they had like the pilgrim belt buckle and they had their same style boots that they always wear, but they painted them to match the pilgrim outfits. I noticed, because I do Christian's Closet, it's on this shirt here that you can get at prowrestlingtees.com/Christian Rosenberg.
Did you guys enjoy this match?
It was fine. It meant to be a little goofy. I mean, the New Day promo I thought was entertaining.
Yeah.
Corey Graves saying that Byron Saxton's commentary has the same effect as tryptophan was pretty damn funny. And it was interesting that the finisher was a clothesline by Big E with a turkey on his hand. And then they threw all the side dishes on Cesaro.
I didn't agree with the whole turkey thing.
Weren't a fan?
No, I just think it's so disrespectful. Like, I eat meat. I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian, but I just thought it was a little bit hard to watch. Like, he stuck his fist in the turkey.
This was what drew the line for you. The stick the hand in the turkey.
Yeah, like, I don't think they should be using, like, an animal to fight within the ring. I think it's disrespectful, yeah.
Wow.
Like, if you're going to consume it for food, fine, but, like, because you need to eat and whatever, and I'm not saying it's right even to do that, but to, like, use it in a match and it's going to waste, like, that's an animal. I don't know. I found it to be weird, and I didn't like it.
Maybe Hobo grabbed that turkey afterwards and brought it home to eat it for dinner.
Yeah. He's got to eat,
there's
too.
There's no way he did that. That's unsanitary.
He's a hobo.
Yeah.
He's a hobo. You get what he can.
Not about that life.
I thought it was. I mean, it was fine for what it was.
I mean, it was for his Thanksgiving. It was going to be goofy. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they suddenly beat the tag champions.
Yeah,
as the tag champions have just been dominating them. They could have done this match with Sanity or somebody, and like not the bar in this match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah,
it could have been that loser club.
Yeah.
Sanity.
Give them the colognes.
Yeah,
I mean, they just wrestled on the paper and, like, you know, have them do that match.
Yeah,
whatever.
And Sanity has three guys, so it's not like it would have been different.
It would have made sense. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they're doing with Sanity, so.
Well, no one knows. Yeah. They don't know.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Next match.
Next match is Mandy and Sonya versus Naomi and Asuka. Mm.
Much better match.
Yeah, no, this was a good match. Good tag team match. We're still continuing the story of Mandy and Sonya having tension, possibly breaking up soon.
Why are they even wrestling together anymore after all these, like, stints here and there where they kind of are traitors to each other and they want
to
one-up
the other? Well, Mandy's been the traitor to Sonya. Sonya hasn't done anything to Mandy yet.
No, I think Sonya did one thing.
How dare you say
that? What would Sonya do?
How dare you say that?
It's hard for me to recap things, like, off memory like that. I'm getting old. But
you're getting old. I'm
older.
But I'm
telling you, I think Sonya did it, too.
Yeah, it's not Mandy's fault that Sonya ended up on the apron. She just had to push her off. She was trying to win the match, okay?
and it's not Sonya's fault that she got selected to be on Team SmackDown before Mandy.
Exactly.
And it's not Sonya's fault that Mandy Rose almost
ended up on the team, though. Ended up on the team?
And they both actually had very good showings in that match.
Yeah.
And then Mandy almost hits her running knee on Sonya, stops herself in time, but because she didn't realize that Sonya tagged herself in to try to help on a double team move. This distracts them. Eventually, Naomi knocks down Mandy. Asuka lock on Sonya. Sonya taps, and Mandy and Sonya back to the drawing board.
It seems like it was Sonya's mess up, you know? Doing that blind tag, tagging in.
Are you in the Corey Graves school of thought right now? Because Mandy Rose can do no wrong, according to Corey Graves.
No wrong. She did everything right.
Yes.
Even losing, she still wins.
Then we have the Daniel Bryan promo by Daniel Bryan.
For like 20 minutes.
The new Daniel Bryan. Get that right.
The new Daniel Bryan.
Do you like the new Daniel Bryan?
I love it.
I loved this.
Really?
Because it was so different than what we've seen from Daniel Bryan. First off, only talking to the third person, which is just weird in itself. But when you do it correctly, like he did.
Yeah.
It made it quite interesting, and so he's pretty much saying how, like, this explanation isn't for them, in referencing to the crowd. It's for you, in reference to AJ Styles. Dan O'Brien committed an act of betrayal. That act wasn't last Tuesday. That act was nearly 3 years ago when Daniel Bryan gave up on his dreams. But the difference between Dan O'Brien and these people here is Dan O'Brien doesn't accept failure. You know, they weren't with me during the dark times and the therapy, the family arguments, the struggles, the recovery. These people moved on. And you could hear it when they chant AJ Styles. And Daniel Bryan allowed Brock to beat the remaining weakness out of him, and there would be a new emergence. The Daniel Bryan that these people loved is dead. The Yes Movement is dead. And you will never give up on your dream ever, 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 ever again.
I find 90% of this promo to be like a heel, like that wants to be a heel. Sounds a little bit babyface in the beginning. Because he's recapping his like success story to us all.
Yeah, which is what a heel does. Heel just brags about what they do.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I think Daniel Bryan needs a good little kick to make himself more of a heel. Like he's
this is a huge kick.
No, I get
this is a super kick.
I don't believe he is as heel as he could be. I think
this is only the first week.
This was the first promo of it.
He's like easing into it. I think he needs to be full force. Like, I went crazy when I was off and I had all this time to think to myself and I meditated in that box or whatever he was in that was giving him therapy. I don't know what he was doing.
Hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah, the hyperbaric chamber.
That was during his recovery.
He should have said, at those moments, I went insane and this is the new me.
But
I think that would have made it better.
But the thing is, a guy who's insane doesn't say he's insane.
Mm-hmm. Because to him, he's normal. He's
right.
Fine. Well, okay, then maybe you shouldn't use
just
the word
just like Dean Ambrose isn't a lunatic.
But I still think that it should have been a different twist, not a, like, I did this and this, and it's all these, like, great success stories. And even if you think it's bragging, it's still something somebody would say when they want to notice their accomplishments.
But it's
all, doesn't sound heelish but it's until all, he makes
no,
it a heel.
But it's also the delivery. The fact that it was very slow, that it was very monotonous.
Mm. Yeah, but that, I'm saying that helps.
I think you're in the vast minority in this.
I think at the end of the promo it became more heel-like. But I'm saying the beginning just sounded like he was preaching to the choir or something.
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was one of the best Daniel Bryan promos ever. I hope he definitely needs new side plates now.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that too.
But I was like, okay, I get it. That happened last week. They didn't make new ones yet. But it was just so good. Like it was. I was telling you before the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it was kind of almost a little like Rock Jericho mixture,
almost like a combination of the two.
But I think it was still it was his own.
And it was
a good explanation, I thought, of like, you know, he just, you know, has had enough.
Yeah.
He's going to get to the top how he wants to now.
It doesn't
matter, but he doesn't care about the fans. It doesn't. And I think it was good that he was acknowledging, like, all right, yeah, the Yes chants have been going. You know what I mean? People haven't been this excited, like, since WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Thing that I would add to that is, like, what I was trying to say before, is that I think that, like, when you look at people like Nakamura and other wrestlers that are heels, or even Randy Orton right now, like, they're doing extreme things. And I think Daniel Bryan's natural personality is to be very nice and sweet and, oh, anybody could accomplish their dreams. So for him to turn heel, he needs to work on his character because it's just too sweet of a heel.
I disagree because he's pretty much just talking to himself about not refusing to quit his own dream. That's
Gollum
the point.
Talks to himself.
Exactly. That's what I just
and
told
he's,
him.
And he's one of the biggest heels and villains in cinema, right?
And Edwin in the chat says he needs a new theme music.
I'm okay with that.
I think he should keep his theme music, but it should slow variation. It down. They should like slow it down kind of. Yeah.
Anyways, now you can't talk in the third person because you're a heel. That makes no sense.
There's never been a babyface talking
so
to
if
the,
I say,
other than
well,
the Rock.
Gabrielle thinks that, you know, this match was okay.
Boo her!
Then that means I'm a heel.
Yep. Boo her! Yes. Audience, boo her!
Whatever. It seems like a lot of people in the chat roll actually agree with me, so thank you, chat roll. I appreciate your support on this subject matter.
But he can't go. I get what you're saying, though, but he can't go too crazy yet, though.
Right. Like, you don't want him to go
Randy
insane.
Like, putting screwdrivers in people's ears. Like, he can't get that crazy.
Every heel has to be different, because if all of them acted the same, it would get boring.
Yeah.
No,
that's why
Nakamura
is different than Orton, which is different than Bryan, which is different than Peyton and Billy, which is different than Sonya Deville, which is different than...
I feel you on that, but I don't think Daniel Bryan is like anybody, regardless of what and how extreme he is as a character. He isn't like anybody else.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm saying, no, my point
we need
is
to turn it up
no matter
a little
how
bit.
Extreme, and more he turns it up, he's not going to be like any other wrestler. He's Daniel Bryan. But you can't change that.
But I think he's just starting. Like I get what you're saying. But this is only the first week we're having this new Daniel Bryan here.
He needs to get back in promo classes.
I'm just kidding,
you guys. I just think he needs to turn it up a notch. Okay. Like,
I think he will.
More.
I think he will. Wait till AJ gets back and yeah. Let's see what happens next week.
Main event of this 2006 edition of SmackDown, Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio.
12 years in the making.
Yep. Randy Orton is during the match trying to rip the mask off. Towards the end of the match, Mysterio goes for, which I love this new move, because for years he would get thrown out of the ring through the bottom and just like fall hard. Mm. And now he's making that an actual move where he slides and does a splash. Mm. So he does it. Except Orton somehow catches him from that low into an RKO, which is insane.
What can't that guy do? Right?
When it comes to RKOs, yes, what can't he do? RKOs, yes. What can he do? he then throws Mysterio back in the ring, starts picking him up by the mask. The mask almost falls off at this point. He kind of like readjusts it, hits another RKO. Orton gets the win. Then after the match, grabs a steel chair because apparently he's stronger than Peyton and Billy and can grab a chair.
Well, that guy's not going to stop Randy Orton.
No. puts it around Ray's face, throws him against the ring post. Mysterio goes down. When he falls, the mask accidentally falls off.
Mm.
And great job improvising by Randy Orton, because then at that point just naturally grabs the mask to hold it up as a trophy.
I think great job by that crowd of being like,
well, they were shocked. Well, yeah, they were shocked because the mask came off.
I know, but we've seen him without his mask
before. In WCW.
Okay. But still, I mean, we've seen him.
You said it fell off. I thought he took the mask off.
Once he fell off after the chair on the ground, and he kind of fell off, the mask just kind of slipped off his head.
Yeah, and then Orton picked it up.
Orton picked it up from the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Tom, if you think about it, because there are younger people, younger fans, that may have never seen his time in WCW wearing a mask. Okay, it is a shock.
There's a thing called the WWE Network.
Never heard of it. Tell me about it.
It's free for the first month.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you can go back and watch all Rey Mysterio. Hey, if you want to watch something that's Rey Mysterio, watch him get thrown like a lawn dart into the TV truck by Kevin Nash.
But after that free month, it's got to cost a fortune, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. That's that.
I felt so bad for Rey in this match when he lost his mask because it was so disrespectful. But in a way, I feel it was planned because the whole promo prior to the match with Randy Orton was with the mask. So it must have had to have been planned.
Well, the plan, obviously, he was ripping the mask earlier in the match. So the plan was for him to go after the mask. Mm. And maybe after the chair spot, he was going to pull it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it just happened to come off.
It just worked.
Yeah, it worked. However it was, it worked great.
Another hero down. Bad. Another hero down.
Well, yeah, damn, Randy really makes you hate him, because I swear I used to love him and I thought he was so hot and like
you were in love. You were in love with Randy Orton.
I mean, I still think he's like a good looking wrestler, but I'm not really a fan of him anymore. Like,
ooh.
I really like heels most of the time, but this heel, like, he just does disgusting things these days. Like, he's disrespectful in the ring. Like, what is going on with you, Randy? Like, this is not the Randy Orton I used to know. Somebody that I used to know.
Gautier reference.
Exactly. I'm glad you got that.
Oh, I loved that song.
Me too.
Could not name another song by him, but I loved that song.
I couldn't even name that band.
No, I'm kind of proud of myself. I remember that.
Yeah. I saw them at Coachella years ago.
Don't ask me how to spell it, because I have no idea how to spell it.
Gautier. It's G-O-T-Y-E.
There. All right. I've learned something. You know what else? I want to learn some more stuff that's happened in wrestling world and news. Almost like a wrestling rap segment.
Well, you're in luck.
Am I?
Because I have that just for you.
Well, let's hear it.
All right.
Nice. Roll the music. Yep. Thanks. So, there was a surprise appearance by Enzo Amore during Survivor Series at the Staples Center this past weekend. And I was there, so were you guys, right? Mm-hmm. Or you weren't there? You were there.
I was not there at Survivor Series.
But you watched it.
I was at TakeOver. I watched
NXT.
It. Yeah.
So it was crazy because I actually saw this live, and I remember the crowd was starting to go nuts on that end, and I literally called it. I was like, oh my God, that's Enzo. And that was right before he stood up and kind of went off with his belt and everything.
And then he got tackled.
It was nuts. And all the people on my side, like, took after me. Like, when I said, oh my God, it was Enzo, they're like, oh my God, you're right. Like, second one of the night that I recognized before most people. So, point to me.
Did you recognize him on the pay per view too when they did the hard camera shot?
I didn't watch it on pay per view because I was there.
Well, there was like a picture of like him with his hat on and a hoodie up.
I saw the image on Twitter. We looked it up.
I just love that he started trying to make the scene while on TV. They were still on the international commentators.
Yeah.
So you only saw like the last 5 seconds or so of his little shtick.
I didn't know any of it made TV.
Oh yeah, at the very beginning of the tag match, like the end of it made TV.
So before, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. So AOP and the bar had just gotten to the ring when Enzo got out of his seat, removed his disguise because he was in that hoodie and everything.
Great disguise.
Stood up on his seat in one of the first few rows, okay? Amore was released from WWE almost a year ago when he was under investigation for sexual assault allegations. And he lost his job with the WWE then, but the Phoenix Police Department later called off that investigation due to lack of evidence. So, we're going to roll this video, so if you guys missed it, someone put it on Twitter.
Yeah, this was like phone footage from someone who was
sitting right there. Yeah, his name was Lee Shanker at Tough Sky on Twitter.
There's the security guard. The girl who took out Gronk takes out Enzo. Props to her.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, if you aren't watching our YouTube live stream, you could always, you know, go to Twitter and go to this guy's profile. Again, it's at Tough Sky, TUFTSGUY. He posted the video. So shout out to Lee Shanker for that. And I was just wondering for you guys, do you think this publicity stunt will ruin any opportunity he might have had to return to the WWE in the future?
Oh, I mean, he wasn't going to come prior to this, and now he never will.
You go ahead.
You can start.
I mean, what's the point of it? I get why you're covering it because we want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, but I mean, also, it is news.
I don't like as much attention as it got.
Don't want to give it extra attention.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, yeah, like I don't get why he got that much attention for it. Like he was just, you know, basically a fan there that just started to
check. I mean,
He's not a fan anymore of WWE.
Yeah, exactly. They're not a fan of his either.
I mean, there's a lot of things about it that I'm really angry with.
You were going crazy on Twitter.
I was going crazy on Twitter then, but like I tried to like come up with them because one thing
you were raging.
I raged. I did. But one thing really in wrestling, and this part I know being that how like I've worked around it and been involved in various independent wrestling companies, the key rule is to not necessarily work on getting yourself over. It's about getting your opponent over, and when you do that and get the story over, that in lore of it gets you over. And what he did was solely about getting himself over, which is like rule number one in wrestling of what not to do. So he's proving that he has no idea what he's doing in the world of professional wrestling, and he does not belong in the world of professional wrestling. Let him best of luck with his rap career. I heard a little bit of the lyrics. They sound terrible to me. Some other people might like it, which is fine. But he needs to stay away from professional wrestling because he showed right here disrespecting his peers that he's worked with for years, that he does not know what professional wrestling is, he does not know what sports entertainment is about, and he does not deserve to have any type of spotlight for that.
But also I feel that, which I think just makes it even funnier, was that he did this and then didn't even make it on TV. Like, he spent however much money
he bought the ticket
to sit there. He bought his disguise to sit there. And then he went, all right, this is my spot to do it. And then he didn't even make it on TV. Like, it was complete. Like, if that person didn't make that video.
Well, he made it all over social media, though. People still know he did it, and it is publicity.
I mean, he did trend on Twitter. He did.
Yeah. So, I almost think it's funny that the one spot he picked to do it, the camera wasn't even on. Like, why wouldn't you just do it in the middle of the match? Like, I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to do it, hey, let's just do it in the middle of the match. Like, if someone's going to jump the barrier, they're not going to do it when the cameras are off. They're going to do it when it's happening. Like,
well, also, you know? That could be dangerous for the wrestlers. I don't know. It could be distracting. But to Christian's point, I agree, and I think that this will probably have ruined his future with ever having a chance to come back to WWE. Because
he's never come back to WWE. He's never going to WWE.
I'm never going to say never on anybody.
I'm going to say never on this one. I wouldn't
be surprised if he somehow ends up in Impact or something like that, but he'll never be back in WWE. Mm.
Yeah, and then also to do it at the top of a match, I think that it kind of ruined, obviously, this tag team match.
Because I wasn't into the match because I was just so angry about Enzo.
I was just like distracted.
It wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a bad match, but yeah. I just feel bad because all I was thinking and all I was tweeting was about Enzo because I was just so angry.
And you could see that the wrestlers in the ring were, you know, they saw what was going on and they were disappointed. Yeah. You could tell.
Yeah.
So it just sucks. Anyways, moving on, next story. Coming back from a long hiatus on Monday, November 26th, The Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness will be returning for season 2. You can catch the show on the WWE Network post-Raw for Monday night. Another update, Edge and Christian also returned to their podcasting duties last week with an episode featuring Shawn Michaels.
Awesome. I got to listen to that. I want to get rocket strapped.
You know, the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness, like the first two episodes or so, I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, what are they doing? Mm. But then, as the season progressed, to me, I felt like, oh, they're like really pushing the envelope, and more people that they were having on also pushing the envelope more of things, and it just became just slapstick funny for wrestling fans and people who know more of the inside of wrestling. So, being that they had that much momentum with it, I'm really curious how season 2 is going to be. Yeah. So, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and just to confirm, you know, what people are questioning in the chat room, it was about a 2-year hiatus because the last episode aired in 2016. That's when the series first started. So, they're back. I know it took a while. You wonder, you know, sometimes why WWE waits so long to bring something back. Like, what happened in the 2 years that changed their mind?
Yeah.
I think they also taped it
a long time ago.
Not that long ago.
I remember them talking about filming stuff over a year ago for season 2.
No, it was around WrestleMania, after this past WrestleMania.
They might have confirmed that they were doing a season 2, but didn't tape it yet.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyways, Braun Strowman legitimately injured his elbow, according to the Wrestling Observer. Dave Meltzer noted that Braun has bone spurs in the elbow that was attacked on Monday Night Raw from the likes of Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre. Braun will have to undergo surgery, but the question everybody is asking is, will he be good for the TLC pay-per-view?
Yes.
I think he'll still be fine. I mean, he had this issue, I thought it was an elbow, maybe it was a shoulder thing, when he was feuding with Roman a couple years ago, and he came back sooner than expected with that.
Yeah.
And it was like a minor thing like this. So he'll be out for a few weeks, and I'm sure... you know, it'll be heavily taped up, but I see him still doing a match at TLC.
Yeah, I think that was when they did, like, the ambulance into that.
Yeah.
And he was, like, out, and then he, like, came back out of nowhere. And,
right.
You know, because he's a beast, a monster.
Mm-hmm. Among men.
Yes.
Well, hopefully Braun does come back, because I like Braun, and it's fun to watch him. So, hope he can make it to TLC. And thanks again to Dave Meltzer's reporting. We know that Kevin Owens may make a return to WWE way sooner than originally expected. Mm. Now it just depends on WWE if they will have a storyline for him prior to WrestleMania to get him back in action leading up to the major event. Do you guys think they're going to hold him because they may not have a place to fit him in? Or will he come back?
I think they hold him to the Rumble.
Well, he comes back? Well, it's a matter of, I mean, will he be cleared by the Rumble?
I don't know.
It's you mean by the Rumble, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's not been clarified yet when, but...
Because, I mean, it could be one of two things. It will either be, if he is medically cleared, a surprise return at the Rumble, or day after Mania.
You think if he doesn't come back at the Rumble, he's not coming back for Mania?
Well, it depends on when he's going to be cleared.
Yeah.
But I can see them, depending on how the stories are set... Mm. I could see them hold off until he makes like a big splash, big return, like on the Raw or SmackDown after Mania, because they need him
back together,
right? Because they need time for him to be back to build up a feud with somebody for Mania. So I mean, if he's medically cleared early to mid March, that's not going to be enough time really to build up a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, but I mean, they also kind of have a built-in story already with Lashley. So if Lashley doesn't have a match at Mania, it could be him and Kevin Owens. Not that I really want to see that, but...
But they got to make sure that Lashley and Lio Rush keep bringing up repeatedly over and over that they took out Kevin Owens. And they really haven't done that.
But yeah, but that... I mean, I think it... the announcers can do that as well.
Right, because when he comes back. I mean, you know? Prior to you saying that, I forgot it was Lashley.
They double turned, man. Come on.
Well, Edwin A. Santos in the chat role says, KO returning as a face, question mark?
Yes.
Yes.
No, thank you. I don't want him to be a face.
Gabby likes the bad boys.
He already I don't know turned. If I can like him if he's a face.
Gabby likes the bad boys, yeah, except when they talk in the third person.
Or he has her. Yeah, well, you know, if he can
talk in the third person. Daniel Bryan.
I don't know.
Well, I can't wait till like 4 weeks from now when Gabby's like, I love Daniel Bryan. He's the best.
Well, if he steps up his animosity or something.
Tell you what, Gabby, I'll give you a nice thought that you would love if it does happen. How about Kevin Owens stays heel, Kevin, Sammy, Dan O'Brien faction.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, I love that. I knew you would love Superstar Shake Up, yes, they're all in the same promotion.
Yes.
Yeah. Works.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too. Was that everything?
Yeah, we covered it all.
We covered it all. We got it all broken down for you here on SmackDown After Buzz. And we love everything that we're seeing in the chat room. We love when you leave comments on YouTube and iTunes and if SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. And, of course, we love when you talk to us on various forms of social media. So, Tom Connolly, A, what are you thankful for since Thanksgiving's coming up? And, B, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TomTheCom. Check out my Etsy store. I'm very thankful for my customers that have bought things over the year.
Gabby.
And I'm thankful for you guys, too.
Hey guys, it's
and
Gabby.
And my girlfriend and my dog. Sorry, I'm adding to the list.
You guys can follow me at Gabby Loren TV on both Instagram and Twitter. And on this Friday after Thanksgiving, I will be hosting a live stream for Shein. It's a clothing and other sort of like fashionable website store. I'm going to be doing their live stream. So look at it on Facebook and YouTube because I think it'll be broadcasting between those sites. And there's going to be amazing deals, obviously, because it's Black Friday. And, you know, the holidays are coming up. So maybe there's something you could buy for your significant other, girlfriend, sister, whatever, mom. I don't know. But I'll be giving those deals out, and you can watch me live again somewhere else. So, yeah, check it out. I'll probably post about it again before.
And what are you thankful for, Gabby?
And I'm thankful for work, which yes. is that on Friday, thank God. Amen for new opportunities. And I'm thankful for the people in my life, including you guys. I'm thankful for you all in the chat room and the wrestling world slowly accepting me. So thank you for your approvals going down the line and for not having hater comments in the chat room. I appreciate that. And then the last thing I want to say that I appreciate is just being able to be here and like live in sunny California, pursue my dreams. So thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for these crazy people that put up with me every week, Gabby and Tom and Steve in the booth. I'm thankful for all of you guys that tune in and listen and watch. And I'm also thankful for sales, just like the Black Friday sale at ProWrestlingTees.com. 20% off everything starting now. It's happening right now. You can save 20% off Christian Rosenberg t-shirts. Select items are 30% off. Some other items, 40% off. Plus other great packages as well. And on top of all that, ColorandElbowBrand.com Black Friday sale. You promo code Rosenberg normally gives you 10% off. This time, it is giving you 30% off on Black Friday and a free t-shirt.
Are you going to make any money on this?
No. This is not about me. This is about you guys saving great, getting great shirts. Yeah, ColorNobleBrand.com. You get a free Color Noble Brand t-shirt with any order, and promo code Rosenberg will save you 30% on that order. So many deals, and of course, Twitter, Roy Rosenberg, Instagram, The Roy Rosenberg, AfterBuzz TV on Twitter as well. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful, safe, great Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Don't abuse the turkey like New Day, or else Gabby will be upset.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Don't send Gabby pictures of you putting your hand up in turkey.
Thanks for tuning in.
Eat it or don't eat it.
Eat it or don't. For Tom Connolly, Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. Happy Thanksgiving.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.